not winning 90% of your new business because you have some sort of incredible value.
I'm going to take a bit of a different angle.
You know, I've got a budget this big. I'm going to give it to you because you have a really killer plan.
You give a Red Bull to a turtle, what do you expect?
I think that's a dead turtle. So let's move on to...
E-Rig.
Cheers.
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 Does your current premium finance company lock you into long-term agreements? That's because they don't want you talking to us. At IFS, we win your business the good old-fashioned way, with customer service. I know you don't always have to use a premium finance company, but when you do, you should use IFS. Cheers.
Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Digital Insurance Pint Podcast. This is a special episode, but as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Adam Mitchell, president of Mitchell & Whale, Jeff Roy, president of Excalibur Insurance, and Steve Earle, president of Cheap Insurance. So today we are going to, unlike our usual happy chats about the future and what's possible, we're going to talk a little bit about Facility and what's been going on there. I'm going to just throw a few facts at you guys, give you a little bit of context, and have you make some comments on this. So first off, and correct me if I go wrong here, but Facility is typically referred to as the insurer of last resort when someone, one of your clients, cannot get one of the regular markets to take their business, right? And the business is shared, both the premium and claims are shared by all carriers based on market share. There used to be three servicing carriers, Co-op, RSA, Intact. I think we are hearing that Co-op is soon to bow out and RSA was acquired by Intact. That's going to result in Intact being the only carrier left. I did some digging into the FA operating plan just to get a sense of what servicing carriers are paid. So came up with under Article 9 that servicing carriers are paid 10% of written premiums as a service fee, 10.8% by the way in Ontario. Also they're compensated for underwriting report costs. They're also compensated for adjusting costs at a rate of 12% of earned premium, although 10% in Alberta, but 12% across the rest of the board, rest of the country. And on top of that, they can also charge a 6% service fee on monthly pay. So relative to other lines of business, it's actually more than pays for the cost of actually operating the business. The board is made up primarily of carrier representatives. There's 16 members on the board, 10 carrier reps, three broker reps, two independents, and the FA CEO. And there are some set service standards set at 30 days for new policy issuance, 30 days for policy change, and 45 days prior to renewal.
So just based on the facts that you threw out there, Tom, yes, I've also heard that Co-op is pulling out. What that means to me is, with the acquisition of RSA by Intact and Co-op as a direct slash agency, brokers are now going to become the sole distributor of this product nationally. The numbers that you gave me insofar as 10% of gross written premium, 12% on the GDP for claims adjusting costs and so on, this looks pretty darn lucrative on the surface. It's quite a bit more than brokers get. 6% service fee. I mean, even at 3%, we do our own premium financing. And at 3%, it's still a profit center for us. I can't imagine what 6% is doing. I don't know if they're giving any of that 6% or the profit back to the Facility Association. What do we add about here? The board is made up of 10 carrier reps, three broker reps, and two independents. So we're running around 20% representation. So now that we are the sole distribution channel for FA, is 20% representation on the board adequate?
Well, here's another piece. I think we're about to unpack some problems that have arisen in pretty quick order. And I think a few of us know some on the board that had no awareness of this happening at all. So does the board have any teeth or relevance or control over what's happening?
That's a great question. So let's get into, there's a couple other things. So I've just given you some facts about FAA itself. So let's talk a bit, and Steve raised the point that Intact is very soon going to be essentially the only servicing carrier. So what we're also aware of here, and again, you guys can come in here and correct me where I'm wrong and add some color to it. So Intact has recently given notice to brokers that they will no longer be able to order underwriting reports or certain underwriting reports at the time of sale. And I'll get Adam in a second to talk about what that really means from a CSR and customer perspective. And on top of that, we're also hearing reports from brokers that the consolidation of the RSA book is leading to a lot of backlogs, breaching that service standard that I articulated earlier, which FYI is, in my opinion, kind of a shitty service standard to start off with.
Yeah. So I think there's four main changes that are changing over. So RSA is disappearing, becoming Nordique. And Nordique is a sub-brand of Intact. So it's really Intact taking over RSA's position. The four changes that I understand that we're losing with very little notice are no more Auto Plus ordering. So you can't validate when accidents happened, on what date, to what severity, fault, all of this. You can no longer submit business electronically as there's no portal and you can't email the application. You need to physically print it and physically mail it and pay for the ICS mail to go out. When the document's coming back to you of this paper process, it's going to come back via paper. So you have now eliminated eDocs. So somehow we've gone back in time and made insurance more archaic. So we're on a Digital Pint podcast, recording remotely on the web, talking about a process going back in time to paper. I can't remember the last time I went to my mailbox. And the fourth one is a bit of call out to ClearPay. So ClearPay made some great advancements. We finally got the thing working with RSA facility, alleviated a huge amount of time delay and cost in printing paper checks. And now, because Nordique didn't have it figured out, we are going to have to submit paper checks, printed, signed, stuffed in an envelope, and sent across. So those are the four changes that I see that take us really back in the evolution. There's not a singular added benefit to those changes. And I would say each one of those incrementally goes against the SLA support.
As I said, and we have certain carriers and markets all pushing to go paperless. So it's quite bizarre that we're going backwards only to provide an inferior service to the consumer, and also our staff have even more stress added onto them.
And like, let's not comment on Intact sort of buying RSA or that transaction. That's not actually my problem with this current thing. That my problem with it is that we're making a very quick change onto an inferior system with less features and benefits. That's going to slow down and load up expenses on brokers. That equally is going to slow down and be trickled down to the customer. So triple net. Now that this facility business, for whatever reason that somebody's in it, is being processed by Intact, the customer is going to have a worse experience. One example would be if we submit a piece of business and it takes a month for them to process get a policy number, this means for that month, that client can make no changes to their policy. If they sub a car, they change an address, they do anything, none of that can be backdated until we physically receive the policy in the office via paper mail. Okay, so that means everybody's on hold, where RSA facility would receive the email, send back confirmation, and within a couple days or a day, we would have an actual policy number to work with. And that means you could do some things with that.
The other thing too, Adam, is you have changes taking months to do, 2-3 months. You can imagine if there's only 2 or 3 months left in the term, and it's a $2,000 change, how many policies are going to go NSF, right? It's going to be a complete disadvantage to the client, and a ton of business is going to fall off the books, and a lot of people are going
to
be happy.
And when you'd like to handle that, you get to handle that by printing it and mailing it back in.
Jeff, you raised the implication to clients. Maybe you can expand upon that. What do you think? There's likely a number of issues that clients could potentially face? What do you see as the two biggest impacts, negative impacts from a client's perspective?
Well, and some of the things to go back even further in time is if you're doing commercial or certain types of business with a facility, you can't get them 9 times out of 10 to verify the rate, and you send it in and you hope and pray it shows up as quoted. And what happens a lot of times, it comes up different than what's quoted, even though you've used every technology known to brokers to do it. And then what happens, the price comes back wrong. And at the end of the day, the brokerage looks bad. The carrier doesn't look bad. It all falls on the broker. And we all know if you make a mistake on something in 2.3 seconds, it's on your Google review, and all of a sudden it's all over the world how bad of a job you've done. And currently with all facility carriers, we've had very little ability to deal with it. RSA wasn't bad. They'd actually help you a little bit, but our experience with Nordique is they wouldn't help us send it in. We'll tell you what the price is later, and you could be $10,000 or $20,000 more because of their interpretation. So sticker shock and getting prices later could happen. If you have to send stuff in and have that 30-day delay back and forth and you can't get any help, you're getting a lot of people that you're quoting stuff based on what you know, but there's no guarantee. Whereas if you can email somebody to get some help within a day, you know what the price is, you're starting off on the right foot, right?
In what world is it okay where a consumer wants to buy a product and the experience is one where I think this might be the price, you need to buy it in order to find out, I know the government made you buy it, and I have to supply it to you, but we'll find out the price together maybe 2 months from now. And when we find out, and you're committed, and when we find out, that's right, a number we don't know, so I think it's probably going to be $2,000. So if I guess wrong for you, and by the way, they're going to start taking the money out of your account based on the $5,000. So you need to buy to find out. Right? Because they're so far behind. The service level standards are not. So in what world is it okay to sell a consumer a product in that fashion? I don't know. And this has been the problem for eons.
So I quoted you $300 a month. Turns out it was $600 a month, and it took me 3 months to process it. So perhaps you were a responsible consumer and you saved $300 a month and you left that in your account very, you know, well budgeted, ready to have it withdrawn. And what comes out is not $900, $1,800. And should $1,800 not be there when it's time to have it processed, you will receive a cancellation for non-pay that will affect your record going forward.
Does the consumer think you did it, or do they think that some facility association did it? No, it was Mitchell and Whale, or it was Excalibur Insurance. So we wear that bad blood on that customer experience on our brand.
So let's unpack another one. So Tom said, inside his intro of part of the equation of it, their underwriting reports are part of the expense ratio, fully compensated per the group that funds this thing. So why would there be any intelligence added to the idea of limiting pulling an auto plus? So something that's going to make the quoting process less accurate, it's going to have much more back and forth because the insurance consumer will cite one date and perhaps that date's off or something's off on it. The underwriter will pull it and correct it and be now mailing back the details. So let's put 20 days between each of these things of pull, report, update, print, mail, receive, scan, digest. And then now we need to go back to the consumer and say, hey, you were off by a year on that accident. It was 5 years ago, not six. And that raised your price $2,000.
I think we've identified a number of issues here from the consumer perspective. I know Steve started to talk about who's taking the blame for this. Are there any other impacts from the broker's perspective?
Ask all the brokers the amount of bad debt write-off that they have on their facility book compared to the entire rest of their book. And I'll bet you, just for good measure, brokers on all these errors and misquoting where consumers feel that we've pulled a bait and switch or something, we have to write off bad debt all the time. And I know from our brokerage, the amount of bad debt that we have to make go away is, it exceeds on a facility book more than all carriers combined.
But you also have the extra work. Like if you go right now, we're not getting downloads. RSA at least lets you fetch the DDoC so you could get them. I didn't love it, but it was better than having to scan everything. But we're not getting the downloads. We can't do the automatic document invoicing. That adds a lot of time and effort to write a facility policy. We have to get somebody to scan it. So if you got multiple offices, you got to coordinate the paper in there. You've now tacked that on to scan it and do a process that's not all your other insurers are different. And then on top of that, you have to scan it. You can't get out of the client consumer as quickly. And you know the turnaround time. Clients are used to getting a policy back now. I hate to say the word portal, but some companies are using portals, but the turnaround time is faster. Some other companies have straight through processing where there's no portals. They're used to getting the policy turnaround in, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 days. That's the norm. And they have a bad accident or they buy something they can't get insurance with, or they get into a right drive vehicle, whatever the situation is. Now they get, you know, they have a tough situation. So they get treated terribly because nobody else will write you. And that's a tough thing to do, right? It's, as Steve said, it creates a lot of bad blood in the industry.
The universe of serving associations is shrinking more or less to one. There's a fairly lucrative servicing deal that is baked into the facility operating plan. You're hearing that, you know, that the delays, the manual processing, mailing stuff back and forth, obviously leads to significant financial impacts from both from the client's perspective and from the broker's perspective, as well as, you know, a really terrible customer experience. So that's all obviously really negative. Let's turn the corner here and talk about what needs to be done. You started to talk about portals, Jeff, and you know we've said say no to portals before, but if you're stuck in the 60s or 70s, portals are from the 90s. That's actually an improvement, right? So maybe I'll go to Steve first here. Steve,
we talked show after show after show. Say no to portals. Portals are passé. They're old school. That's so 1991. We don't need it. I would give my eye teeth to have an FA portal just so that I could have a margin that was reasonable to, or even still lose money, but not as much on this book of business. The technology exists for both RSA and Intact over the last 20 years. There was just no incentive to invest. Like download has existed for how long? Why can't we have that? We hate doing the data entry for insurance companies, but if we did it for FAA, at least we'd know what the price was when we were quoting it or we're issuing the policy. So the delta on what we're telling a client the price will be and what it actually turns out to be won't be 3 months. It could be 3 hours. And we could deal with those issues right away. And this technology is like, we're asking for really old technology here just to make things a little bit livable for both the consumer and the broker. So if there was an ask right now, it's like, let's, you know, just give us some 90s stuff.
Portal, EDI.
Yeah.
That's at least, I hate to say it, I've never wanted to say portal, but for these guys, a portal is an improvement because the client is suffering. At least you can control the suffering.
What else needs to be done here to partially, at a minimum, partially fix this issue?
Steve mentioned EDI. So we need the documents coming down. We don't need to go out and fetch them. We don't need to get them in the mail. And, you know, some people have people with virtual assistants processing things in faraway lands. So do the facility carriers want to mail the stuff to a foreign country to get processed? Like it opens up a lot of things when you got to start bringing it in-house. And that's just wasted money for everybody. So we need that. And then once you have the EDI, you have the ADI, automatic document invoicing. That's just a base limit that all our other companies provide right now. I don't think I have any companies that don't provide that except for facility. That's become a core base standard. And there's no excuse in 2021 when that's not available. So that needs to be added in the mix. And then again, I don't know. Again, I'm not sure the whole setup of why Nordique is on an older system. I don't know the economics behind it. But if we've only got one game in town, can't everybody fund it to be decent? Like, can't everybody figure out a model to get it on Guidewire? We've got Farm Mutuals going on Guidewire in 1 year, doing it for less than $8 million. How can you not do that as a bigger company across Canada to help brokers? Why can that money not be found as an entire industry? They're just throwing it out because, honestly, I would love straight through processing. I would love to not go to any portals. That would be phase two. But we've been beaten down that we'll take anything we can get. We're a portal is an improvement.
Okay, let's all agree insurance is already stuck a bit in the Stone Ages. It's a big reason why we invented this podcast. It's a big reason why we went with the name. It's why, Tom, you've currently got a mission to, you know, advance the paperless functionality and API and a huge amount of things. Like, we're all dedicating a lot of time and energy to advancing this for the greater good of our industry and in the end, consumers. So somehow in this already declared archaic industry, this transaction has somehow taken a step backwards, right? Like, I almost wish that they had have completely thrown it out and just gone over to smoke signals and carrier pigeons. At least that'd be more fun. Like, then we'd have some animals to play with or something, because this is just a pain in the ass. Like, next you're going to tell me that the faxing is back. So, like, here's another rant of, like, if this was your idea of job creation, great. Like, I got an $8 million facility book that, you know, probably has 2,500 clients in it. I probably get to hire three people to scan full time. That's fun. And, you know, it's a great way to simulate the office environment because I'm sure as heck not ICSing this to three people's houses. Like, and here's the grand finale that blows my mind. Would anybody be willing to do this on their brand name, right? Like, would you be willing to put your name and your Google reviews right there and say, yes, we're going to take this otherwise disenfranchised customer. They've already been told this is the absolute insurer of last resort, right? And I think it's really easy to say, oh, you've had non-payment or a DUI or too many tickets. Sure, there's one makeup of it. What about the people that have a specialty car, you know, a different, you know, asset, a motorcycle, a learner's permit? There's a number of things where they've done nothing wrong. It's just a government mandated product. Nobody is wanting to compete for or select it. So they end up in facility. Okay, fine. So we write that. And now they get kicked while they're down. They get no choice. They get no competition. They get no fight over how their rate is. And now they also have to buckle up. So let's take it. So the cell phone companies, and we fight here in Ontario, Rogers, Bell, Telus, it's kind of the two, and you can ping pong between the either. So now we're talking about eliminating one of those, and the other one that's still left said, ooh, yeah, we're going to get rid of the phone number. We don't like that. You can mail us letters of complaint, and we will respond in 30 days. And if we don't respond in 30 days, there's no consequence. And like it's blowing my mind, right? Like, you wouldn't do this to your A plus customers. You wouldn't do it to your B plus customers. So now you've declared these ones C plus, and you're doing it all to them.
Is your recommendation, am I hearing you right, that all facility complaints get directed to Intact Google reviews?
I don't know that I actually want to start the fight, but I'd love to shine the light on like this thing and say, if we could pump the brake just a crack, we can probably achieve the exact efficiency of combining companies that we're all desiring and going without adversely affecting customers, your supposed business partners in this channel of distribution, and, you know, a little more careful planning and execution could be applied here.
I'm going to summarize what I've heard from you guys in terms of what should be done. So what I'm hearing is that as much as it pains me and all of us collectively to say this, is there needs to be a portal or some sort of access real time to FA rates and underwriting rules such that the broker isn't and the customer isn't in a situation where they have no information and they won't get it for 2 months. We want to restore access to the reports. So you, again, with the intent of getting the correct information, the correct pricing at the front end, again, to prevent this multi-month potential significant difference in what's actually being taken out of somebody's account with all the negative things that entails. Adam, I think I heard you say, you know, take a little more time to transition from RSA correctly. Jeff, I heard you say EDI and ADI downloads.
Let's volunteer that there's no way that we fully understand the complexities of these two businesses and the transition and what the other side is having to deal with to navigate. But, you know, what would be nice to know is that realizing that they are shutting down the more advanced of the archaic poor servicing solutions. Number one, how many, like, name for me a startup insurance company or division. It doesn't happen. It's really rare. It all goes the other way on consolidation, down, down, down. On the flip side, it would generally be perceived as undesirable business. I think that's a pretty well entrenched angle of, like, there's not a lot of brokers, not a lot of companies fighting over these customers or these risks. So just on those two factors alone of, like, hey, it's a difficult, expensive, risky thing to do a new startup, and B, why are we chasing that? But it's okay. So let's go to the regulator and its general idea of the fair treatment of customers. What part of these changes are fair or good for customers? And if it's a bridge over troubled waters where you're saying, hey guys, trust us, hold your breath for 60 days, two quarters, something, and we're headed to a better place, let's have that communication and talk about it. But I don't see that. This looks just like a step backwards with no choice to switch and general, yeah, we're doing this.
I don't know when you get your RSA memo, but I found out a day after that we were switching over to Nordique. And I didn't see any memos before that. I asked a bunch of people, they didn't see it. So all of a sudden, a light switch went off, and all of a sudden we couldn't get our e-docs anymore, and we had no notice of it. Is that what you experienced in Ontario?
Same for us. I heard rumblings from Steve on the East Coast that it was coming a little earlier. What I had heard was about Nordique, and so I thought, oh, well, that must be them, not us, and it must be East, not Ontario. And so it never fully hit my radar to dig in, but no, none of our team had the memo.
I think the facility fiasco, as we call it internally here amongst us, has been a broken piece of our industry for a long, long time. It's been neglected because nobody's really given a shit about those consumers. It's FA, who give, you know, whatever. I think there's an incredible opportunity here for Intact as the sole distributor, or the sole manufacturer, I guess, and us being the only distributor now, to really make things right. Like, we're an industry who has struggled with our perception in the public for so long. And the advertising campaigns of various brokers associations were people to be trusted. We're the ones who are going to help you, and so on. The facility piece of that pie has been atrocious and has been a thing that has been a detractor. So because you have a couple cancellations for non-payment or a couple speeding tickets or some sort of vehicle that nobody wants, clearly there are obviously, you know, people in there for other reasons, but does the consumer deserve to be ditched? I don't think so. And what ends up happening is the individual broker brands end up wearing this. So it's been entirely neglected for so long. And there's a great opportunity here to raise the bar for what we're doing for consumers.
Is retention important to your brokerage? Of course it is. That's why at IFS, we have a cancellation prevention process. Want more details? Give us a call. I know you don't always use a premium finance company, but when you do, you should use IFS. Cheers.